bass and jinx. Plugged into social where opinions collide. Hot takes, sharp minds, no place to hide. Questions, cool moves, every angle in play. ETD, the lead voice, your highlight of the day. It's PGD, breaking through the static. Hardening the disruption, bringing out the magic. It's PGD, breaking through the static. Hardening the disruption, bringing out the magic.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Pardon the Disruption. I am your boy RB. We're here with Lick, Wobbles, and Freak. We got a full slate for you guys today, and we'll dive right into it. Hot topic of debate over the past couple of days. I think some hype is getting built into the ACC with a big win coming out of North Carolina yesterday in the Cup. Guys, I'll ask you, and Tim, I'll go to you first. Is the ACC legitimately turning into a three-bid college football playoff league?
No to the three bid, but to get into it a little bit more, yes, they are. They are the talk of the league right now as being a league and a conference that's going to put out a serious contender for the college football playoff championship. Albeit Miami had a good run last season in the college football playoff, it took them a lot to get there. To whereas this season, we're talking about Clemson could arguably. Argue that they should be the number one team in the nation based upon their resume this year, beating a number seven Louisville, who's a very good team and potentially could be a top a playoff team too. The problem is Louisville is on the outside looking in right now for the conference championship game. And the reason being is North Carolina doesn't play Clemson or Louisville. And so if I'm seeing probably two teams here, that's my take. I think that you're probably going to see if Clemson runs the table and beats North Carolina in the championship game, you could potentially see Louisville and Clemson and a North Carolina out. North Carolina would have to keep the game really close. They'll have lots of eyes on them with the playoff committee and stuff. But with what's going on in the rest of the league, I just don't see them taking three teams in.
Wobbles, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's tough to see three. Anything can happen though, but I think right now, just to be safe, I think you have to say it's just going to be the two teams.
Freak.
I agree with Lick and Wobbles. North Carolina would have to win out and win the ACC championship to be in. Honestly, I see Clemson winning that conference, and Louisville would have to also make it to the championship and I believe win it in order to at least get two in. But to talk about three, that's kind of difficult with the Big 12 having some good beasts over there. And then you have the SEC who's just about to eat themselves alive.
Yeah, I tend to agree with all of you guys. I think the biggest thing is going to be what happens in the SEC. If the SEC has a bunch of three lost teams and you're looking elsewhere, you see the scenario where maybe you get three teams out of the ACC, but I agree with you, Freak. I think the only way it happens is if North Carolina wins out and the conference championship, because then you'd have them as the automatic qualifier. And I don't think you could keep Louisville and Clemson both out in that scenario, but I'm also not sold that North Carolina is going to win out. I know they said they have an easier schedule, we've noticed, but I'm not completely convinced that I'm not buying into the hype yet. I think he's a great coach, great player, but not quite there. We'll move on to the next question.
Real quick. I mean, their loss came to Vanderbilt, who is coachless. I know that, but it's an SEC team. And so the best part about North Carolina is that if you're going to compare apples to apples with other conferences and their loss, it's almost like that loss is wiped away. Because there's no coach there anymore, so there's no way to compare him to any other coach that lost, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, very good point. So we'll move on to our next question here. One thing that I've noticed in the league is that, you know, the activity level is a little down, and we're seeing a lot of activity from, you know, I think 40 or 50 coaches who are really playing all their games and up to speed, but I think we have a lot of teams that have fallen behind and maybe not necessarily gotten games in. I'll start with you again, Tim. Any concern about the activity level for the league this season?
No, and the reason being is that I think that it's only there if you want it to be. And the reason I say that is someone, and I don't remember who it was, went back and looked at this time last season, Block 5, last season. We have more games played now than we did last season. It wasn't by much. It was like two or four games or something. And so I think we're right where we always are. I've always said that usually Block 1 and 2, you see a lot of games played. The reason being is it's a new season. People are excited. Blocks 3, 4, you know, 3, 4, 5 is where you see people slow down a little bit because and then they get behind and then people play catch up. I think it's just that's kind of always the course in the NDL, at least even from back when I remember. I remember that middle block always seemed to be slow. And at the very end is when you'd get a rush of four or five games being played in 1 week by a lot of coaches. We obviously had a lot of openings too. You know, we had like 10, 11 openings and we've almost filled all of those. And so and some of these coaches have been wonderful about getting these games caught up and stuff. And so I don't have any worry about it. You know, life gets in the way and stuff like that. We're coming. A lot of people are sick and stuff like that. So I think we're fine.
Yeah. Wobbles, I'd love to hear your perspective because this is your second season. So I'd love to hear kind of the difference between last season and this season for you on this topic.
Yeah, I mean, so it's interesting. There's a couple factors at play, right? I mean, I think just with football being done and in real life in general, you're going to see that natural decline. I mean, just the excitement for football kind of wanes. And obviously, you know, there's the looking forward to the new game. But I think for me personally, you know, it's been I've even been more excited. And I would hopefully you see some of this from the newer coaches only because you get more comfortable. I mean, obviously, I've had a chance to really get comfortable with a lot of different guys and just comfortable with just you know, navigating the site and navigating the things that are required of coaches and things like that. So as you get more comfortable and learn to kind of, just putting yourself out there and asking to play games and communicating with guys about getting games in and being understanding. So I think, you know, myself and some of the newer coaches, you know, there's still some excitement and we're just kind of finding our groove. Obviously, it's going to be different for some of the vets that have done this a lot. And so, you know, different things. And also, like, listen, I mean, we're at that point where, you know, spring's upon us and getting close and you have just real life stuff that kind of, you know, pops up. But I mean, you know, for those of you that don't know, there's a, you know, convention being, you know, being planned. And guys are excited to get together and stuff. So from that standpoint, you know, I really like where, you know, what is happening within the NDL itself and think the rest, you know, the guys that want to be here and be involved will, and those that fall away will unfortunately do that.
Freak, your thoughts?
I'd say I'm a little bit worried. I'm not too concerned about it. Same thing as Wobble says. I understand, you know, football season is over. You know, national championship is done. Now the Super Bowl just got played. So football in regarding our minds might be starting to disappear. And then as Wobble also mentioned, you know, spring activities around the corner and most of us do have families. So we are going to have to find a little break time, but I still think, you know, a lot of these guys are going to get games in, and I think we should actually have a lot more teams finish their season, probably say about 90% finish their season and not have to worry about many sims at all. So I'm looking forward to season four. I'm actually a little worried because I'm ready to lose the team. but you know, season four is upon us soon enough.
Yeah, I'll just say I have been a little vocal on the podcast. I do worry about a season four in terms of activity. It is a grind and, you know, great stats lick on just kind of where we were last year at this time. I got to put myself in those shoes because I have OCD a little bit and I go kind of like crazy if I don't get my games in the week I'm supposed to get them in. So sometimes I feel like if others aren't that maybe we're falling behind, but that's really good perspective to add. We'll move right along here. I kind of have a buy or sell edition for you guys, and we'll go rapidly. We'll go quick because we could probably go and debate this for a long time. But I'm going to give you guys three teams, and we'll go down the same order we've been going here. buy or sell your stock right now. First team, Virginia Tech. Lick, go ahead.
No, I'm buying it as a good coach, but I'm selling it as a contender. Reason being, he's got 3 losses already, 3-1 in the conference. He also has a game coming up. It's at home against Clemson, but I think Clemson's going to be the better team and beat him. He's going to give him 2 losses in the conference. He's going to finish with 4 losses. He has the potential to round out the season at 4 losses. He plays Michigan, easy win. Duke, probably a tough game. Virginia, probably an easy win for him. And so I see him probably finishing with 4 losses, so I'm selling.
I mean, how do you follow that? It's perfectly said. I totally agree.
I'm selling, and he's taking a loss. He's going 7-5. He's losing to Michigan. Just letting y'all know that. But now that big game against Clemson is going to be a very big one. And then, you know, week 12, he's taking an L. We already agreed to a snow game. So I'm going to bring out the Snow Whites unless he does.
This was a segment I created, and I wish I would have added a hold, buy, sell, or hold, because I would probably hold for now and see where it goes. But I'm going to buy it just because I like to go against the grain here with you guys. I think Chase does this kind of every season with the slower start. Then he goes off and wins like 8 or 9 games in a row to end the season. I'm not saying he's a playoff team, but, you know, 3 losses would be obviously very, very tough. But I would not be surprised for him to be in the conference championship conversation come block 7. So we'll move right along to the next team here. Notre Dame, quietly playing really well. I think we all know who Rain is after that first season, you know, going 12-0 and cracking through the playoff. Has been quiet the past 2 seasons, but obviously a very, very good team. Are you guys going to buy or sell your stock in Notre Dame for the rest of the season?
I'm buying my stock in it, and the reason being is his schedule lines up for him. I mean, his only tough opponent, no offense to anyone else, you know, and when he went out and scheduled Nebraska, I'm sure he thought MGR would be pretty good out there. He ended up beating Freak, who's just had a you know, below average season there at Michigan, and then obviously a win over Purdue. But his only tough opponent that he played all year was Louisville, and he got spanked. But I'm still going to buy his stock because the rest of his schedule is Mississippi, Florida State, Virginia, USC, all teams that are, you know, right at or below 500. And so I'm buying stock. He's going to make the college football playoff, and you just never know what's going to happen with Rain in the playoffs. So.
Yeah, I'm buying as well. I mean, too good a coach, too good a team, and I think, you know, that I think he kind of conquered last season's ghost with, you know, kind of putting a whooping on Stanford. But yeah, I mean, I just think he had I think you have to look at last season as kind of an anomaly from what I've seen, and you know, having played him a decent amount of times, I'd have to buy. He's just and the schedule lines up. And once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. And I mean, listen, I mean, my last name's O'Brien. I have to buy. So
I'm buying as well. He has a very favorable schedule. My biggest concern on that schedule would be USC and him happening to stop Zachariah Branch, which Rain is very good at knowing who to key on. So I could see him making the college football playoff and taking it from there.
Yeah, I won't go against you guys. I agree on this one. I'm buying. I'm a firm believer that Rain is a coach and a player who learns from his mistakes. He had mentioned he threw 4 interceptions against Louisville in his game against him. That won't happen again. He does not let those kind of things happen twice. He'll take care of business, and I'm buying as well. Last team here on the list, SEC team. Couple losses early, but starting to make some waves here. Texas A&M, buy or sell?
You know, I'm going to sell. I'm the SEC commissioner, so obviously I want to promote the SEC and the teams. He's had a good run here. He's on like a 6-game winning streak since losing to Florida. He had a tough loss to Cal out of conference. And then a big win over Penn State. The problem is he plays LSU, South Carolina, and Texas. 3 of the last 4 teams are ranked. And obviously 2 of those are teams that are contending for a college football bid. And so I'm selling it. I think he probably finishes with at least six or four losses on the season.
Yeah, I agree. I'm selling it. The end of the schedule, the back end of the schedule is just too tough. And then, I mean, don't look past Auburn as well. That's on that schedule, who's a really good coach and a really good team. The SEC is just a, man, it's just murderer's row. And to, again, I think he's rebounded really well, had a good middle part of the season, but the back end's just too tough.
Not so fast. I'm going to buy. You know, I initially had him down as a sell, but I'm going to buy him. I think he's going to happen to play LSU and South Carolina strong. Going to come down with that game against Texas, and seems a pretty good coach, but Six has turned it around.
Yeah, this is tough for me. I'm going to buy just in the fact that I think he's going to go 2-2 to end the season. I think 8-4 at Texas A&M is a really quality season in this type of SEC, in the SEC in this league. So I don't know if that's technically buying or selling. I don't know if it's a playoff contention, but I'm kind of in the middle there. I'll move along here. This has been a topic after Florida's second loss. Wanted to ask you guys, not specifically Florida, but just in general, is this the year we may see a three-loss team in the college football playoff?
Man, I don't think so, but it's so hard to rule that out because there's so much football to be played. And with the conference championship, you do open that door for a three-loss team. But man, we have several mid-major teams that are making some splashes this season. We have a couple that are undefeated. And so obviously those undefeated teams, we always put a lot of weight on wins. And so I find it hard to believe that a three-loss team is going to knock out, and I don't care who they lost to, a three-loss team knocking out an undefeated mid-major, to me, just doesn't make a lot of sense because we need to put value on those games and you got to win. At some point, you have to win those games. So I would say no, I don't think a three-loss team this season makes it, but there's so much football to be played.
Yeah, it's just so hard to see what the committee's going to do. And then having been a previous committee member and you know, the emphasis that is on wins. But again, I mean, when you're comparing, a three loss SEC team to, you know, a one loss or even an undefeated, you know, mid-major, you know, I just think it's tough. I mean, it's so hard when people, you know, emotions and the human element comes into play, which is why I love the human element, because it there's just so much that can happen. And then again, there's just too much football to be played, but, I don't see it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
I could see it happening. And the only conference I could see it happening with would be the SEC. There's so much talent in there that it's all going to depend on who they lose to. For example, you get a two-loss team going to the conference championship game, and if they lose, I could see that two-loss team, depending on who it is, getting in there.
Yeah, it's a great point, Freak. I'm in that same boat where I don't think you're going to see a 9-3 team get an at-large bid. The only way I think you'll see it is if it's a 10-2 team who loses that conference championship, or if you get a bid stealer coming out of another conference that goes into that championship game with three losses. Just don't see it at-large. The league is too deep, especially we were just talking about the ACC earlier, having a potential of three 11-win teams. You're going to have the Big 12 that probably has two 11-win teams, if not maybe even a third. So I'm in agreement there with most of you guys. Kind of a fun thing I wanted to do here is, you know, in the media, we tend to talk about some of the same teams a lot. And so I just want to turn it over to you guys. Who's a team that's just maybe not getting a lot of love and attention and someone you want to shout out and talk about for 30 seconds to a minute here?
And so I obviously this team's a good team in general without the coach. The coach, a great coach. I know he's been ranked always high, but man, someone brought it up last night in the chat where we're live streaming their game, is that we really don't talk about him enough. He gets a lot of flack and pressure. He had a big win last night over Florida, 31-21, as Deacon in Georgia, putting together a great season already, arguably could you could, I know he's ranked number three. You could rank him number one. Guys went to the playoffs every season. You know, he's consistently winning games, winning big games. He's got some couple big games left. He's got a huge one on the calendar with Tennessee. He gets to host the Volunteers this year with Vegas. And so a great guy to talk to, a lot of fun to watch him play games and stuff. And I know that's not like the mid-major or smaller school, but I'm on a media team. I'm on game day. He is spotlighted. His games are sometimes for College game day. Just as games of the week and stuff, but we really don't talk about Deacon and Georgia and what he's doing with Georgia this season enough. Put together a great season, and so that's who I would like to talk about. So,
Really, really good call out, Lick. I kind of called him out during game day, you know, and I'll call him out again. Bierkop and Rutgers, he's just done. I mean, one, he's a phenomenal commissioner. As a new commissioner myself, I certainly look at the things he does as a commissioner, you know, for his leagues out in the West. He does a tremendous job there. But I mean, if you look at, I mean, his record's 1-6, but if you go look at his games, I mean, I think the margin of victory is, you know, I mean, you're talking on average, I think, of 3 or 4 points. He has played everyone super tough. The guy just grinds away in blitz games. And, you know, I mean, he has just gotten so much better as a coach, and always is participating, obviously, in what we're doing in the NDL. He's a model NDLer. He's a guy that I ultimately respect, have loved to get to know a little bit through our conversations. And, man, he has just gotten so much better as a player and a coach. And again, I mean, hopefully he has a chance to maybe stick with that team. But, man, if he does and gets to know that team even better, that Rutgers team in the Big Ten is not going to be one I would want to face in the coming seasons with him leading the charge.
I don't have that much to say in regards to it, and I can't talk for 30 seconds about a team, but I was taking a look at the records, and I was looking at Sauksy at Southern Miss. I mean, he's putting together a quality season, 5-0 right now, 2-0 in the conference, and I think that's going to lead to a crash course with Marion. And to add on to Tim's, Tim, how can you not mention Deacon's YouTube? Love the fact he's always showing his face on the camera. You can see when he's happy as hell or when he's ready to throw a control at the TV.
Love every one of them. I'm going to shout someone out who has not won a game yet and had a really, really tough season last year. I want to shout out Drew Baca. First season, I think he went like 5-7 or maybe 4-8. Dude is having a tough go of it, but a lot of his games are close. He had Tulane down to the wire. He took Sammy down to an 8-point game. Just a guy who's grinding, playing games, having fun, regardless of wins and losses. And I just really like that he's still involved in the live chat. You know, he's not around a ton, but I see him pop up quite often in the live chat, staying engaged. And at North Texas, I know he's 0-6, but I'm confident he's going to get some wins. And I just really appreciate coaches and owners like that who come back season after season and are here for the right reasons and here to have fun. So, all right, last question to wrap it up here. It appears we have two really standout teams, and I know you guys mentioned Georgia and some others, but I'll ask you guys, and we'll go in order again. We have Oklahoma and Colorado. Are we on a crash course for those two teams to play for the national championship?
No. Oklahoma, yes. Colorado, no. The reason I'm not sold on Colorado yet is their non-conference schedule is UCLA and Vic, Michigan and Free, Colorado State and T-Step at the time, and Baylor with C-Nasty. His schedule in the conference this year, obviously, with Vegas and Jiggy leaving, has left the conference. It's still a good conference at the top, but it's just not as strong as it was. And so he's not battle tested. And so obviously it's another season with the team. We always talk about how good you'll be. I just think that I'm not sold on him making the college football championship. The nice part is he'll probably be on the opposite side of the bracket as Oklahoma. So that always is nice, but I'm just not sold. I think that there's some probably better teams in the SEC this year that would have a better shot. But like I think Wobble said, man, you make the playoff and you never know what can happen.
I think so. And again, he's just really good. And I know we look at you know, have a tendency to look at out of conference, and obviously the guys that are really dead serious, you know, would probably be a little bit more you know, thoughtful about that. But I have no problem with guys scheduling out of conference games with friends or guys they like to play. I mean, that's part of the NBL way and what you want to do. So obviously it's important to take stock in it, but I don't think it's a determining factor. I think, man, that's just too good a team, and he's just too good a coach. And listen, I mean, if that's our national championship game, I'm tuning in. So I'm gonna say yes.
Unfortunately, I feel like there's too much football still to be played. The playoff seeding to be made as well. You made a great point, Lick, in regards to about where they will be on the seeding, and there's a possibility that they might not see each other till the championship game. But at the same time, there's still a lot of quality teams out there that are going to make a run for the CFP as well. D. Kennedy is a beast. Colorado whooped my butt. And I could see it happening, but I'm not so positive that will be the case.
I mean, that's the common theme in the whole show, is there's still lots of football to be played. We got some big matchups coming down the stretch. We'll always give us things to talk about. RB had to run back to work. Appreciate it, Freak and Wobbles, coming on the show. You guys got any last words?
What do y'all think about weather games? Just kidding. No last words.
There should be no white on white. That's a crime, right?
Absolutely, Ben. Wow, I don't know. I agree.
If you play snow games, you should have to wear your darks, right? Like you wear your blues, and Oregon wore their yellows. That'd have been perfect.
There's got to be.
Well,
some
the problem is if I didn't wear the white. The problem is if I didn't wear the white, he would have had the white. But either way, you know, I felt like the snow might neutralize his game.
You could have told him to wear darks. He could have wore darks. I'm pretty sure he can pick yellow if you pick blue.
I wanted to be my arch nemesis, you know, the ugly Cowboys for once, and actually wear white at home. Mm. By the way, go Birds.
Take care.
Thanks, guys.